scripture to be read before this sermon is from Luke, the 23rd chapter, reading at least verses 33 through 49. And the text is from verse 48. All the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned, especially the phrase, that sight. One sight can give a fresh understanding to a life. I remember once back in the West Virginia mountains when I and Waldo Grant, who was a boy who'd grown up in the mountains, and Rod Caldwell, who was a Harvard student wanting to go into archaeology, but because of the Depression, out of school in the CCC camp, for these were Depression days, the three of us viewed a sunset from North Mountain. Waldo, who had seen 100 like it, it was just another sunset. To Rod, it was an expression of the beauty the world holds. But to me, somehow, through that day, I knew a little better that God is, and that the fingers of His glorious power fondle His world in every place. It was not by reason, nor by the reading of books, nor by arguments, but by one single sight that a fresh understanding can come to a life. And one sight can change the course of a life. There was a young man who dropped out of college, was working as a cashier in a logging camp, spending his life roistering and drinking when he wasn't working, neglectful always of his frail young wife, who even then was carrying their first child. Late one January night, he reeled home in the snow and cold from an evening with his friends. He fell by the narrow gauge railroad track he was taking up the mountain. When he didn't get home, his wife went out and sought him. She found him, put him on a hand car from the logging railroad, and pushed him up to their mountain shack. Out of his stupor, he opened his eyes just as she half-dragged, half-carried him into the cabin. And it was that sight, so this man's brother later told me, that turned that man from waste to worth. He went back to college, he went to seminary, and became a power for good and God across the Pacific among China's millions. He was one of the most effective street evangelists that our China mission ever had. It was not by persuasion nor by preaching that it happened, but by one single sight, the course of a life was altered. And one sight can remain as the moving force of a life. A young minister who had not yet found himself was huddled in a muddy trench in eastern France in 1918. The thunder of a ceaseless barrage was maddening. There was not time nor chance to bury the dead, nor aid those who lay wounded in that ghastly corridor then called No Man's Land. The body of a German lad, dazed dead, hung upon the barbed wire at the verge of that trench. Green it became and awful with corruption. The flies finally ceased their buzzing, too gorged upon their feast to move. I heard that man tell often of that day from the pulpit of the church where I grew up as a boy. Years passed, and for a lifetime, that minister's voice was uplift in our denomination, calling upon the Church of Christ for action to heal the ills and hates of the world. A voice to remind us that doctrine and the rephrasing of Kant are not enough, and that the Church must battle evil with deeds as well as words. And I believe that I know what remained the force of that man's life and of his ministry. A single, simple sight that, for him, summed up all the suffering helplessness of the millions of earth. These are words from our text. That sight. All the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things that were done, smote their breasts and returned. It was a simple sight to be taken in at a glance. A rounded hilltop, a wooden tree shapen like the shape of a man, upright and cross-arm. A crowd, soldiers and priests, scum of Jerusalem's slums and merchant princes, strangers from afar, women, men. But on that tree was no man. No man, but God himself, God's only begotten Son. The thorns of the wilderness thrust at the nerve centers of his brow, nails through hands and feet, side gashed by spear thrust. Still he was slain. It is a simple sight, but one that can give understanding to your life, one that can change the course of your life, one that can remain the force that moves your life. Understanding? Look on him. Why hangs he there? Innocent and stainless, about him swirled all the dark currents of the evil of men's hearts. It was only good he did, and this is what it brought him. There was only gentleness in the touch of his hand, but men brought him to death in violence. How could they kill a man so kind, who gave the light back to their blind, who healed their sick and raised their dead, and brought their hungry lasting bread? The evil of the hearts of men and of our own hearts lies naked before us when we look upon that sight. For it was not alone the evil of those who laid hands upon him for death that put him on that tree. It was my evil. Willingly he went up to Calvary. It was for this that he had come. For he had lived but to die. The sin that is yours, God could not forgive except by taking it upon himself, by himself suffering the punishment that should have come to you. And in that sight of him there, I begin to understand the evil, the helplessness, the hopelessness of myself. It was for me. It was for me. Look on him, God hanging there. He did not have to die. He had but to speak, and legions of angels would have borne him up. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, Christ died for us. He came to seek and to save them that are lost. The love of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In that sight I begin to understand. To understand myself, to understand the love and mercy of a heavenly Father that awaits me. And that sight can change the course of a life. No one can look on him and remain the same. Even the stoniest heart responds to these love and sacrifice. In his love, he hangs there, buying back my life from death that I may live. Not live 70, but live forever. For he came that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. The gift of life awaits us in that sight. Which way is life headed for me? My way, to do, as they say these days, my thing, to do it my way? In that sight, God calls on us to change the course of life, to do his things, to live life his way, to become followers, disciples, servants, loving other men because he has first loved us. Yes, that sight can change the course of all the rest of your life. And that sight, once looked upon fully, will remain the force of your life for all the rest of it. This has been the experience of those who have looked upon that sight through all the ages. The cross has made saints out of cannibals, holy women out of harlots. There was a book a number of years ago written by a man from Skid Row in New York called The Dry Dock of 1,000 Wrecks, the story of man after man after man who, in the power of God, had found the force that kept his life going right. In our time, we read of those who are called the Jesus people, and of young people who, in the power of that sight, have turned from drugs to lives of devoted service to other men. It has always been so that when we understand life God's way and our life is turned away from ourselves toward him, that his power becomes and remains the force in which we live. The cross in the life of men met Judaism in the first century and conquered it. The cross in the heart of men met the Roman pagan philosophies of the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th centuries and mastered them. The cross met the rude heathen of Europe and lifted them who are our forebears into the light. The cross has met the nations of earth, and there is no doubt that its effect has changed the face of all humanity, and that the freedoms of the world are a consequence of the dignity of men, which derives from those who know that God made men to be his children, and that those who will find him to be their father. A poet wrote it this way: they took him out when the dew was fair and the eastern sky was aflame. They showed him a cross, all stark and bare, a thing of dishonor and shame. And they supposed, when they nailed him there, none would believe on his name. The Christ lives on, and the cross today has become the symbol of grace, and the marching world must see its ray, for its light is in every place. So take up the cross and go his way. In that is the hope of the race. It is in remembrance of him that we come to the Lord's table, to renew for ourselves, each one, our vision of that sight. Look afresh upon that sight and understand yourself and God. Look here again upon that sight and feel life within you begin to change. Look afresh at that sight and let him become the force that moves your life, and through your life, the force that can move the whole world.